All right, so welcome to the Team 150K for Africa Protocol. For anyone who has not joined us on our call before, this is an opportunity to look at anything you're seeing as you've been participating in this endeavor, insights you've been having, fun ideas you might want to share, questions you have, any of the above. So I have not muted folks. I don't think we don't sound like we have a lot of background noise. So if you'd like to speak, if you've got yourself on mute, and let us know what you're seeing. Who would like to start us off?
Hi, this is Ota.
Yes, Ota.
Hi, I had an idea drop in this week, and I cannot control myself. I didn't want to be first, but I'm just bursting to share the idea.
We're so glad you're first.
Okay. This is the idea. So here, I mean, I'm in Lima, Peru, and here everybody's convinced that we are going to be the next to have a big earthquake. So everybody is talking about earthquakes, being paranoid about earthquakes, etc. And in all the buildings, they are putting up signs telling people to prepare an emergency backpack to use in case of earthquake. And also, all the newspapers are showing pictures of what this backpack should look like, what it must have inside, and all this stuff, you know. And, of course, everybody's talking about it, and nobody's doing their backpack. Not me. me neither, by the way, you know.
Do you mean that they're conditioned humans?
Exactly. And I'm going to show me my business idea, my idea to fundraising idea exactly is, but I hope I stay so excited because I want to do this tomorrow, is to prepare to start by preparing like 10 backpacks. Well, one for me, you know, but 9 more. And they are pretty expensive, you know, because you have to put a lot of stuff in it that is not cheap, you know, like torch, a blanket, a small radio with batteries, because they say that the phone would stop working and the TV would, everything would stop working, just radio would work and all this, you know. So it's not cheap. So I'm going to buy it in stock, you know, like 10 of each thing starting, you know. Make 9 to give away backpacks. And for example, add $10 or $20 to the price. I have to see how much it costs, you know. I think I can add $10 to the price of each because, you know, it's still Peru, you know, so it's not that people would spend a lot on this. And then every time I go to see a customer or I meet people for other reasons, before going to the meeting, saying, oh, by the way, just so you know, I have here some extra backpack that I made for the for an earthquake. If you want, I can give it to you for $10 more than it costed to me, and the $10 would go to a charity project. Would you like to get it? And I guess that since everybody's freaked out about this earthquake thing, people will say yes. And by the way, it will be useful for them if an earthquake actually comes.
Yes, exactly. So there are so many wins to it. Yeah. Well, and, you know, so to the other thing about it is that, I mean, you're putting quite a bit into putting it all together. So you're adding a cost onto to the price of buying it. But, I mean, if someone were to put the time into themselves putting it all together, that's at least $10 worth of time right there, right? So, yeah.
Exactly. At least $10. Yes, I have to see because I have to make the conversion because they sell them ready in stores, you know, but nobody buys them. So I have to see exactly how, you know, how much they sell them for in stores and how much it would cost for me. But, yes, at least. The thing is also that here, there is the rich area where I live, where everything costs a lot, even more than in the States, and there is the rest of the place, which is the majority of it, where things are much cheaper, you know. So my idea is tomorrow to go to the other area of town, you know, mm-hmm. where I can buy stock of stuff at a much, much cheaper price than I would buy them in stores here, you know. The customers I work with are from this part, from the rich part. So their alternative would be to buy it ready at a very expensive store. You know, none of them would ever go to the cheap part of town where there are like market people screaming in the streets, buy this, buy that. Like, you know, it's really a very divided society. So nobody would go there. And it's a beautiful adventure for me. Because I always go to the other part of town, like as a gringo looking person looking around, and everybody looks at me like, what are you doing here? Why, if I go there to buy stuff, I have a reason to go there. I love going there, so I'm super excited. I hope I can do it tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about that, it's reminding me of, I don't know if you got to be on the call today with Cantalomba, but the going to the market with Teresa.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so.
I guess it's very similar, right?
It's, well, yeah, I've not been to Peru, but it's so much fun. And just, you know, that same sort of looking at you like, why are you here? but when we're with Teresa, right, it's a whole different story. But, you know, it's so funny. I know this is not the point of your story, Asota, but just as you say that, there's a way in which it feels like markets like that just make so much more sense. They're alive. They're living. They're, you know, this person selling the tomatoes and this person selling the spinach and this person selling knitted hats and this person, right? It's just, I don't know, it's vibrant. So anyway, that's really fun.
But then it's amazing the stuff that they sell, because apart from tomatoes and this, I found out about a market where I'm going tomorrow where it's a backpack market. Like, they sell only backpacks. And it's apparently a block of people making backpacks and selling backpacks.
Making them?
Weird,
wow,
right?
They're not even from China, huh?
No. Well, I guess it's I will report back in the next call. I'm very curious about that, yeah.
Okay.
This is what there is no information on the internet, you know? It's all people telling you. It's not that these places are online, you know?
Oh, exactly. No way. Exactly. Which is another fun element of it, right? Instead of just sitting in front of a computer, we get out into our community, into life actually happening. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, just the last piece of it, Asota, that's so fun, is I just love how what it feels like this endeavor is doing for all of us is it's always in the back of our awareness. Okay, what else? And then, boom, life just dropped in this amazing idea that completely lights you up.
Exactly. Oh, and there is another aspect of it, super quickly, that I'm not sure about, because I was talking about it with some friends here, and they say, I don't know, they say I shouldn't say that it's for Africa because everybody here is so worried about Mexico and Puerto Rico and these other places that they would say, yes, but why Africa? I would just have to say charity without saying what.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, that's so hard to say because, you know, when you say that, it's such a what I see is one of those, how to describe it, it's like, life doesn't tend to give us the information unless we're right there in the moment, in the situation.
In front of the person, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So sometimes Sherry, people will call into the radio show and be talking to Sherry, and they'll say, yeah, but I mean, what if a person walked up to another person and asked them, she says, I don't know, right? That's a hypothetical. We're not in that situation. Now, you are in that situation, but I'm not. And so it's a little hard to kind of, you know, comment on that. Except that they're just, you know, I think you and I talked about this early on in this endeavor as well, that there are a ton of places, a ton of people around the world who need assistance right now, a ton. And you're living quite close to a lot of it. And so, you know, I imagine there's that place of kind of just maybe even a two-hander recording, you know, letting it drop in. All right, Vice. What I want to do, because I'm projecting you do, is to do what's best for all. What might that look like right now, right here with this situation?
Yes, and the key is what you said, you know, that I'm, even when I do the 2-hand recording, I am not in that situation. So I can just be present during the situation, you know. I can try to be present when the person raises the objection, but who cares?
Yeah.
My friends who were saying this, they were not in that situation either. So.
Yeah, so, and it might be one thing when you're talking to one person and another thing when you're talking to someone else. And through all this, you might have an idea drop in of how you want to support the folks in Mexico and Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you.
In the same way that one process doesn't lead to another, one process does lead to itself. So if you're in a process of insight and generosity and participation, then that's going to keep being your experience. And everyone's going to win from that. Someone who's in love, who's in gratitude, who's in generosity, who's in insight, everyone wins from having someone like that around.
Exactly, exactly. Yes. Oh, my God. In the end, it's all about just being there when the thing is happening, you know. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so excited.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Oh, thank you, Asuta. Let us know.
I will. Next week, I will tell you.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, if there's something to report or share or ask or any of those things.
Oh, hello. It's Colin here.
Hey, Colin.
Oh, hello. I just wanted to check in with everybody. And I was just noticing this afternoon, I had an event a couple of weeks ago, and I just had that sense, if I'm not joining on the calls, that I'm somehow, I feel separate from Sango, and I just really wanted to be on the call and join in to sort of connect up with everybody.
Good for you. And you know, Colin, I hope you won't forget where you're going, but I just want to, what's so important that I saw when you said that is we're not separate from Sangha, even if we're not on the call, but it's so easy for conditioning to talk to us about being separate when we're not on the call.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. I just sort of noticed that was... I wanted to get on the call. And I had an event a couple of weeks ago, and it went really well, and I was really pleased about it. But I think that it just what I wanted to highlight was that there were it was a very positive experience, and that there was sort of good in it apart from the fundraising, really. And one of the things that I did was I dropped invitations through people's letterboxes in the village, and as I was doing it, there seemed to be quite a lot of resistance to you know, the voices just saying, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't be doing this and that. But it was just, I just thought, I want to live in a village where people pop invitations through my letterbox and invite me to charity events, really. And it felt like it was a sort of a community thing, really, where inviting the neighbours round to a fundraising event, and that seemed quite important, really. Even if people didn't come, that at least they knew there was somebody in the neighbourhood that was sort of kind of opening the doors and inviting people round. So that seemed quite an important part of the event, really, to have done that.
Go ahead.
Well, it's that thing where you don't know the neighbours, and you walk past people in the street, and you don't know who they are, and it just felt that it's just out in Africa that they're doing something for their community, and it felt that I was doing something here for this community somehow. That it was kind of on a parallel to that it was a community event somehow, and that seemed quite important, and. The day went very well. It was just sort of lots of people turned up, and it was really successful, and it was a really positive and sort of uplifting experience. So it was really worth doing. And So it was great. Yeah, so it all went very well.
So, you know, just for a scholar, I love that. What I think you said was, I want to live in a village where people are inviting each other over for charity events. And so, oh, if I want to live in a place like that, then I can be that, right? I can take the lead, which is so perfect. That's so practice. And then, yes, just that really heart-opening experience of going around, putting the invitation in people's boxes. And as you say, if they come, they come. If they don't, they don't. That's fine. But just kind of having that be a presence in the village is such a lovely thing. And then a bunch of people turn up for it. How fun.
Yes. I thought it was just a lovely thing to have. I did it. It was actually a plant and flower sale. And I put them all out in the driveway. So I hopefully when people went down the road, they'd see all these sort of flowers out in the drive. And I just thought it kind of just was a real boost. For people when they go by, that just if they just drove by and they'd think there was something nice going on there. So I think it was a really lovely thing to do. So really enjoyed
it. Yeah, I was going to say, would you mind if other people want to steal the idea? So it sounds like you had plants that you and flowers that you put out in the driveway for sale.
Yes, I'd grown. Yes, so it's quite a sort of colourful display of. Sort of plants in flower, and I invited as many people as I could, and there's a gardening program on the local radio show, and they gave a little plug for it, so it went out on the radio, so there was a little bit of a, you know, buzz there, and some people turned up, they'd heard it on the radio, and then in the house, my sister-in-law was serving cups of coffee, and people sat out the back garden, and having a look around the garden as well, and... But yeah, buying some plants and took them away. So it was really nice.
Oh, that is so lovely, Colin. So lovely. Wow. And congratulations. What a huge success. I mean, as you say, it sounds like there was some resistance as you were going around to do it. But just, I project so much love in it. And then just to have it be such a big success is what a lovely bonus.
Yes, yeah, so it was a lot of joy in that. Now I have to say I haven't reached the target yet, so there's still a bit of a way to go, and I was sort of waiting to see what life drops in next. But
And we truly don't know, do we? Right? I mean, it could be survival backpack. We have no idea.
No, well, yes, it's just when the original email went out about it, I sowed 500 wallflowers. You see, I went straight out and sort of did that, right? 500 wallflowers. That's good, but they haven't quite sort of come on yet. So they're sort of sitting out there, sort of looking at me, and I don't know where that's going to go. But we'll see what happens anyway. So, Anyway, we'll see what comes next. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We'll see what comes. We have no idea. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, I just really appreciate it, and I really appreciate hearing what everybody else is saying as well. It's really wonderful to participate in something in that way.
Yeah.
So I really, really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Colin. Thank you for your amazing efforts, and thank you for heeding Light's call today to be on the call and to participate.
We all lovely. Thank you.
Okay, so take much. Care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going to go ahead. We're getting some background noise, so I'm going to go ahead and smoke. So if people want to participate, you can press *6 to unmute. And who would like to speak next?
Stephanie?
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey. Boy, I had a really exciting time with this assignment that I was doing from yesterday.
Yeah.
Which was
Do you want to give the background on for folks who weren't on yesterday's call?
Yeah, I have quite a bit of resistance around Facebook and a lot of beliefs around it. And so I've left it. And then to kind of come back is really difficult to me. Well, to conditioning. So it's a big drama around Facebook. So I realized that the drama is not the content of what I want to post on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's the process.
Yeah.
And so I committed to posting something, and I gave myself a week. And like, a little bit much to take a week to do this. So I did find myself posting this morning, kind of a little bit late, but whatever. I was posting it, and it was no problem, and it didn't hurt at all. It was no big deal.
So one senses that maybe the lead up, the drama to the lead up, maybe is the point. That's where the suffering is, because when we actually do the thing,
yeah,
nothing hurt. Nothing was terrible.
I didn't break anything.
Nope.
And then on top of that, so if that's already a win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got it out. The word is out. It didn't hurt. I saw the whole process. So I decided to reach out to somebody who I haven't talked to in 5 years. He happened to be on Facebook, and he's in England. And I sent him the invite. Hey, how you doing? This is what I'm up to. And he wrote back, great to hear from you. Oh, wow, this is great. I'm on the call. And then he said, wow, this is great. Do you want to meet an angel investor in Zoom? I said, well, sure. But okay. And so then he sent me a screenshot of a tweet. So he sent a note to an angel investor, and in that tweet he had taken a snapshot of the little baby when the baby was getting held up and giggling and smiling. So he took that as a snapshot and sent it to a PR person at Zoom, and the PR person said, oh my gosh, this is the best thing I've seen all day, or whatever. And so there's going to be an introduction.
Uh-huh.
And this, I know, needs to go through the monastery.
Yeah. You intuitively sense that.
Yes. This is out of my hands, but it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, my God, you know, no kids have died. That's a miracle. And just that connection.
Yeah. Exactly. That we truly don't know. You know, I was thinking about that today on the call, Stephanie, because Teresa was telling that story and saying, so then my brother, you know, just the whole thing, picked by the Catholic Church to be educated. I mean, how that happened, who knows, right? Needle in a haystack. And then he ends up in Assisi, Italy, at the same time that Sherry's there, and the two of them meet. I mean, and you just, you know, the chances of it actually happening are infinitesimal.
Yeah.
So it's just, you just never, ever know what one little thing is going to create.
No, it's just incredible. And it's just so fun. The call was so fun, and just, it's all so fun. And I just did it. So I'm going to kind of pull that with other things in my life, burn through that resistance.
Yes, exactly. Right. So there's a big drama. Oh, okay, well, let me just, you know, metaphorically or literally, just press the button and do it. And then just watch. Pay really close attention.
Yep.
Yeah.
So thank
really
you for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for participating.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie. Bye-bye. And we do have folks muted, so if you want to participate next, please press *6 to unmute yourself.
Jan, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, I just got on the call, so I don't know what y'all have been talking about, so I apologize if I'm, like, you know, going
repeating
off on a
really
week.
Inspiring thing. We'll be okay.
Good point. Good point. I just have to say wow to the call this morning. It was just one of the call with Kent Alumba. That was one of the most heart-opening things ever. I don't know where to go with that. I just wanted to first of all, acknowledge and just thank you for everything that you're doing to make all that possible.
It's very little on that end. But just to watch that, just that deep gratitude and connection between the guide and the team there, and I agree with you, it's so moving. Yeah.
Yeah, the love was palpable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In regards to what I'm seeing around my fundraising efforts and my team, know, it's a real exercise in letting go and just watching, letting the natural generosity of people show up when it will.
Yeah.
Well, because it always will.
Yeah. Exactly so, right? Yep. That's such a good point. It's like the image I had when you said that was something like we're just sort of facilitating that image of, you know, muddy waters and letting all of that stuff settle to the bottom, and the clarity and the beauty and the generosity will always rise to the top.
Yeah. And can I give you a specific example?
Please.
So there's this one old friend of mine who is a professional fundraiser. He raises lots and lots of money. And I so wanted him to be on my team. Now, he's never even heard of the Africa Project. We haven't been in that much close contact, over the years, but not incredibly. And so I spoke about this on the last call, I think a couple of weeks ago, that I tend to kind of steamroll over people, so I was taking a more light-handed approach because it wasn't work, because the steamrolling approach doesn't work. So anyway, I just decided not to just kind of rush in there and go, oh, my gosh, please be on this team. You'd be bad and you blah, blah, blah. And instead, I just sent him the slideshow, and he emailed back and said, oh, I love that the men did the dishes, and then he said, how did you get involved with this project? And so then I got to tell him the story about Sherry being in Italy and meeting Teresa's brother, and I just kind of laid out the story. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love about it is, and so now, that was just this past week, so I'm sure he'll get back with me when he and his family get back from Europe, because that's the kind of family they are, they get to go to Europe. Mm-hmm. But my sense is we support a project in Africa too. So there's some common ground and common interest. And what I'm getting is that it's not, I hesitate to say this, it's not about the money, because it kind of is, but it truly is about facilitating a relationship, an interaction, a project, whatever is in the moment. Yep. And it's such a good practice for me in terms of trusting and letting go and not thinking I have to make something happen.
Oh, that's a big piece of it, isn't it? Wow. Just trusting and letting go and knowing that you don't have to make something happen.
Yep.
That you're just being there, sharing what you love, talking to people about what you love, what inspires you, what lights you up, knowing, I project, for all of us, what an incredibly good project this is, and we can say that because, as you say, we're basically watching the team over there create this miracle day after day after day. And that inspires for us just this desire to support them like crazy. And so then there's just a sense of wanting to invite people into that, and definitely not from a place of because you should give to this, but rather just letting people have the information so that should they choose to, you know, they can participate in it as well. Not because they should, but because they want to.
Yes, and I got, and what I just saw as you were saying that was, because I don't want to interact with him or anyone from the place of, oh my gosh, this is so great, we really need want your money. And we want you too, but we really, can you want to get to this? Because this is really awesome. You know, yeah. No matter how good a cause it is, that's just not the way I want it. So what I got to say to him after I told him the story in the email was, thank you so much for asking. This is one of my favorite subjects that I love talking about it. And I, mm-hmm. you know, and I still didn't, you know, ask him for anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can tell I'm closing in on something that I'm not quite seeing yet about all this. You know, but it's everything to me. I think about relationships and not about, maybe it's the process and not the content, or I don't know. Yeah, you know, there's something here still that I'm kind of working through myself. But it feels really significant in all areas of life, not just this. You know, but this is certainly a powerful workshop in itself.
Yeah. Well, certainly for me, when you were talking, it's not what, it's how, definitely dropped in. Because that place where I thought that was really well articulated, that you don't want to approach it like, you know, yes, we want you and your participation, but what we really want is your money. We sense that's not the approach we want to take, which is the same, you know, how to say it. It's like we want to be coming from the process, the same process that is the project. Otherwise, we're doing the project a disservice in a sense.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. We want to model the process in everything, not step outside of the process to get the money so that we can step back in and do the process again.
No, that's so well put. I got goosebumps with that because that's what Sherry always, always has modeled.
Uh-huh. We never leave center to go out and get someone. They're all invited in like that one.
Yeah, exactly. And it's never going to work, and nothing is ever, ever worth it. And if you have to do that in order to make something work, then that thing wasn't meant to work. I mean, that's sort of a clunky way to say it, but then that isn't what life has in mind. It's just not worth it.
Pull the plug. If you're being required to do that, then pull the plug, because that's not what we want to do. We don't want to be about that.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's a really good example of that. Yep. Thank you. Who else?
Hello, this is Till.
Hey, Till.
Hi, Jen. Yeah. okay, yeah, so actually I'm working on my project right now, which is like a craft project that I hope to sell to raise the money.
Oh, great.
And, yeah, and it's also a good workshop because it's something that I haven't done before, and so now that I'm starting on it, and right now it seems like a little more involved or more work than conditioned mind had anticipated it to be.
Little bigger workshop than I think I signed up for.
Yeah. And so then in come the voices of like doubt and like discouragement or so. So it's really a great opportunity to practice always to just like come back to this moment and do what I can do right now and what life drops in as the step to take right now.
That is so perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when that process of, oh my goodness, this is bigger than I had anticipated, this is going to take more of that. That's a big part for everyone over there, Phil.
I don't know, for me you were breaking up a little bit. I didn't get
okay.
that.
I couldn't tell if it was a siren or if it was a, well, maybe we'll just wait for that to pass. That's in your eye, right, Phil? The siren?
Yeah, the sirens are here.
Okay. I was just making sure it wasn't someone else.
Yeah.
So yes, when there's that, you know, that place where conditioning is just rubbing its imaginary little hands together, waiting to pounce on the, oh, there's more than I wanted to do, and now I can, da, 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 that practice of just coming back to just what's now, what's the thing for the project right now in this moment. And we don't even have to think about if it's going to get done, how it's going to get done, when it's going to get done, just what's now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Thanks for saying that. That's exactly the practice. Also, like, what I'm seeing is always, like, conditioning's orientation or focus on the result. Like, how is it going to turn out? How is it going to look in the end? Is anybody going to buy that? And it's always coming back to, this now, to the process I'm in now. And, and then actually enjoying doing, I mean, making it, I actually do enjoy a lot.
And I would project that's because you're actually being able to practice with it. Because we could, even if it's something we enjoy doing, if we're caught in that conversation, it's not going to be fun at all. In fact, then I'm going to start to procrastinate, and then I'm going to be beaten up for procrastinating, and on it goes.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm seeing, like, over and over, So that's great. I love the workshop.
Yeah, me too. And I never cease to be amazed when I'm on these calls at just hearing, you know, people's willingness to basically roll up their sleeves and say, yeah, I want to do it. And first that stage of like, well, I have no idea what. And then all these, you know, everyone's doing all these different things. And then being willing to hang in there, stick with it, and to use the whole thing as a workshop. It's just so much fun.
Yeah. And, of course, that doing for the love of others is, like, a big support, too.
Big support.
In sticking to it,
Yeah. And when, you know, when we get to have an experience like we have when we're on the call with the folks in Cantalomba live, boy, that really turns up the we will do for the love of others part of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I missed that one. Are those recorded too, those videos?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yes, they are. And, in fact, we were talking after the call today about how this is one will hopefully in some way really tell the whole team, they're all the recordings are worth listening to, but the just seeing Sherry, you know, or hearing Sherry, I should say, the team could see Sherry, but the rest of us couldn't see Sherry because of the way the technology works. But just hearing them interact and Teresa and Sherry told Sherry's story together, and then Teresa and Josephine told Josephine's story together, and it was really, really moving. So it's definitely worth a going back to that recording.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. Okay.
All right, Jill.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Who else would like to participate?
Stephanie again?
Stephanie.
I just wanted to just remark as well that, you know, the three teenage girls and that interaction with Sherry in the way, for me, I experienced, you know, there's so much going on. There's movement, there's kids, there's technology, there's all this stuff. But then to kind of get down to the nut of it and then to just hear them and, you know, hear Sherry, and it was magical for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just came down to what's true.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Stephanie, because I'm never quite sure. You know, those poor kids, wow. When they're on that camera, I think for them it's a bit of the deer in the headlight kind of syndrome where, you know, they're just so self-conscious, of course. I mean, in general, my God, they're in high school, right? That's enough for all of us, right? But then they're in a community where they're really poor, and they see Americans as just this, wow, like, you know, Americans are something way up there that, you know, they've got all these sort of ideas about that and beliefs and assumptions about what that means about them. And then the language, you know, they know that we're all obviously fluent in English and they're not. And so then the self-consciousness around speaking English. And when I see them, I just think, oh, the courage that I know it takes them to do that. I'm glad to hear that that some of that kind of touching really does come through, even with them being fairly quiet.
Yeah, I think it did. And it was just understood that they're probably terrified.
Yeah.
And then there's just so much hustle bustle, and it just really did kind of come into very sweet and calm and just very, it was just such clear communication. It was just heart communication. So it was really beautiful.
I agree. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Who else would like to participate before we end today? Anyone else? Pressing *6 if you want to unmute. All right. So we'll.
Sorry. Quickly. You know, something that dropped in when I was listening to all this is that I'm so proud of this project. How could I ever think about not telling what the exact charity was, you know, what the exact fundraiser was for? Because I'm so proud of it, you know. That's something that dropped in.
And you know, so as you say that, you know, first of all, I love that thing you were saying. You know, the friends who are asking that were not in that situation either. So really, it's a hypothetical question. But you know, if someone did ask, you could say, "Well, I don't know, really, to tell you the truth. It's just this is the one that life has invited me to."
Exactly. Right? And if you want, I check this link, you know.
Yeah. Exactly so. And I don't know. To me, borders have just never ever made sense. It's completely bizarre to me that, I mean, talk about imaginary. We have an imaginary line where if you're on this side of the imaginary line, you're Mexican. And if you're on this side of the imaginary line, you're American. And that means this and it means that, and you're part of ours and you're not part of ours. And this is the weirdest thing. It's just so odd. So there's a way in which, you know, life seems to invite, you know, each of us to whatever invites each of us to. And so as you've been invited to this, life has put this one in front of you, and then you're inviting people to join you, and they might choose to, or they might choose to, you know, join a different invitation. Who knows? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Really, borders are like an external sign of conditioning. Yes, exactly. It really doesn't make sense yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got to create separation here. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm so thankful for this call. So, my God. Also, the thing that we can report it back, you know?
No. Yeah. It's extraordinary. It truly is. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Laura B.
Oh, Laura B. Great.
Hi. So, I really don't have an update other than that I'm still planning and sending out my emails.
And you're still here and participating. That's a great update.
And I am, yes. And now my local team is all back on the island right now for a little while, so I'm hoping to get together with them this coming week to plan a fundraiser for the community here. And but I think what I want to talk about just for a minute is the project itself, because I had so much resistance to this project when I became involved with Living Compassion many years ago, well, or when the project started, I guess, because I've worked in international development for over 30 years, and when I looked at the project, what I saw, the only thing that conditioning allowed me to see was child sponsorship, and in my experience, that was not good development. But having said that, and I know Jen, you and I have talked about this before, and really, you know, I really got a lot of clarity on it as I looked at the project more deeply, and I saw very clearly that it is community based, it is responsive to the needs of the community, and the needs are identified by the community. And what that says to me, that is the way development needs to be. So basically, if we looked at Living Compassion as the donor and the team in Africa as the implementer, and I don't know, those words just kind of came to me, but the impetus for the project is from the implementers, and the donors play a supportive role. So basically, you know, the people on this, it's really hard to find the words for it because we're all connected, but nobody is coming in and saying, okay, we need to do this because this is for your good. Right?
We've identified
this as the next step because, you know, no, it's totally responsive to what does the, I mean, and that this was so clear. It was so, I mean, I was just in tears for the whole Zoom call today because it was so clear that the project was grew out of the community is implementing it, and our role is to say, how can we support you?
Yeah,
and by playing that role, we are also supported. I mean, it's just it's so brilliant,
and it's so completely life, right? I mean, I was talking to Sherry, and that sense that, I mean, you can tell from the way Josephine tells her story, or the thing that Teresa says. There's this, you know, it's like we want to throw all of the kudos to the team there, and of course they want to throw it all back to Sherry. you've done this and you've done that. She just keeps saying, "No, team, no, you know, no." But that place where I love the thing you said of, I can't remember how you put it exactly, but that we all get to grow from it. It truly is everyone's opportunity, right? It's not you're being helped and we're helping. Or I'm being helped and you're helping. It's all, it truly is all one thing. And you know, that thing about the child sponsorship that's endlessly fascinating to me is, of course, so on the website you can choose a child and it says on there, you know, this is a symbolic gesture to hold, you know, a child in your heart as you're participating in the project. But a lot, you'd be, or maybe not surprised, you probably wouldn't be at all surprised how many people miss that. And write to us and say, can I send pictures to my child? Can I send gifts to my child? Can I, whatever? And what we write back is to say, it's a symbolic sponsorship. Every single child that's on that website is eating every day and getting an education. And they have no idea if they're, quote, sponsored or not sponsored. They don't even know that exists. Right?
Yes.
Simply a model of, I think, for us, the
the sense of it is it's just such a, it seems to be a tangible way to open our heart when we have a particular example of something or someone to hold in our heart. But I think the ego version of it is, where's my kid? I want to help my kid. That sort of
right.
thing.
Yeah, and I've seen that individual child sponsorship really be divisive in communities because some children are sponsored and some aren't and some get education and some don't and some, you know, get to leave the community. And I mean, I love the symbolic.
It just breaks your heart to think of that. Well, thank you for that, Laura, and thanks for telling us that you're out there and continuing to participate.
Yeah,
and can't wait
to
hear how the news goes with your local team.
Right. Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you. Anyone else before we say goodbye?
This is Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Jed. I'm sorry. I also had a reflective listening buddy support call, so I did. I was blown away by that Zoom call this morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just incredible.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so touched. I want to cry now. I mean, just thinking about it, it was very, very touching. And I was wondering, is it an option, and I apologize if people have already asked this, but is it possible to send the, I know that at some point we can get the look at the recordings, but is it something that we could send to somebody?
Sure. Well, actually, in terms of would that work permission-wise? Absolutely. Technology, I'm guessing it would work. I don't because you have a link to it, so I'm guessing. Well, you know, the only thing I just thought of, Tony, that could be tricky. So write in, if this is true, write into Africa Living Compassion with the question. But I think right now all of the recordings are on a single web page that's password protected that everyone on the team has access to. So I think if you went to that link right now, put in the password, you could see the video call. Although technically I doubt that today's video call is up there yet, but it will be soon. But you probably, I'm guessing as I say that maybe right now the only way to send that link would be to send them to that full web page and give them the password. That might be trickier. So we might have to look into that. So that's a good question. If you would email that in, that would be great.
Okay, sure. And the other thought I had was, you know, to try again, because didn't get a lot of people coming, but, and you know, plan something, some food or something, and invite people, and then we watch it. You know, I go in and pick it up, bring it up, and we all watch it together. But I just think if anybody saw that, they would just be so inspired. They would just be blown away.
I know. I know. I'm right with you, Tony.
Oh,
yeah.
It was really, I'm so excited about the girls' program. I mean, I'm having thoughts of just asking friends, you know, just think about it, either, you know, feeding children or even this girls program. I mean, what that's going to do for the community and for those girls is just huge.
I'm glad you said that, Tony. I don't know if you were on when, I guess it was Stephanie was talking about hearing the girls too. I'm really glad to hear people say that because as I was saying, were you here when we were having that conversation with Stephanie?
When I got on, she was talking, but I didn't hear really all this.
I was just saying that clearly the girls are just so shy. It's hard enough when we're there in person to get them to open up, but they will. Usually by the time we've been there a few days, they start to really get comfortable. It's just, it just becomes so much fun because then we're just hanging out and we're really getting to know them. But it really does take a while. So to stick them in front of the video is, you know, it's challenging for them, I project. So I'm really glad to hear that people are getting a sense of, I haven't been able to get a sense of whether or not having them on there is really translating and if people are really getting a sense of kind of who they are and what that program is and such. So I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, yeah, it was, it just went straight to my heart. I was very touched by everyone, the whole thing. But the girls, that just, something about the girls' program just really strikes a chord.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. Yeah. But do write that in. I think that's a great question. Yeah.
I will do that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. Thanks for participating. All right. So we have, next week we do have another call with the team in Cantaloupe the next Saturday morning. And we have our support call Friday at 4 o'clock Pacific time, and then again next Saturday at 1 o'clock Pacific time. So thank you as always to everyone. It's an incredible pleasure to get to be doing this with everyone. So take good care, and we'll see you soon. Thanks, everyone.